It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. Who did the world of professional wrestling recruit as the ultimate heel? Forming the Dangerous Alliance and body slammed his way into immortality.
No police!
When Atlas needed a break from holding up the world, who did the gods of Mount Olympus beckon?
No police!
Now, this worldly ex-grappler has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank the gods he's only on the radio for an hour. Paul LaVoy.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. It's Friday, July 15th, 2022. Should have a pretty good show today. We have somebody, it was a late booking, but she contacted us, and I'm like, well, can't say no, because she's a political candidate, and I want to welcome to the show, Councilmember Michelle Lynn. And let's see, oh, you're over on the other one. Here we go.
Am I on the wrong one?
No, you're fine. Okay. Don't take it off. Okay. You're fine. Yeah, Michelle Lynn, who is running for her third term on the Lake Havasu City Council, and,
Thank you, Paul.
We had Jim Dolan on yesterday,
yep.
And then you on today. So, and then Mike Bonney will be on at the bottom of the hour from GDK LLC. Haven't seen Mike in a while. I don't think he made it to last month's show. I need to do a programming side note. On Sunday, the Mortgage Mom returns to KNTR Talk, and that'll be directly after the Money Pit from 11 a.m. until noon. So the Money Pit ends at 11 and then followed by the Mortgage Mom, and that's hosted by Debbie Marcoux. We've got it on our website as well and on our social media on the KNTR Talk Facebook page. So check that out on Sunday. The Mortgage Mom and the Jerry Ambrose Veterans Council Car Wash is tomorrow. We got late notice on this as well. Annie's Art Attic at 2575 Northern Avenue in Kingman. That's tomorrow from 9 until noon. They'll be selling raffle tickets. There'll be great prizes that, and the raffle will be held at the end of the month at Annie's Art Attic. And come out and get your car cleaned up real nice as the funds raised help with veteran services in our community. So for more information, call 928-716-3001. And then something, you have animals, right?
I do.
How many animals do you have?
I have two dogs.
Two dogs. So this is a pet adoption week and weekend at it's the Maumee County Animal Shelters teaming up with PetSmart for the National Adoption Weekend. And they'll be at both the Kingman and Bullhead City PetSmarts from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. today and tomorrow. The shelter is loaded with animals. They need your help. They'll have cats, dogs, puppies, kittens, lots of lovely animals for you to love on and make part of your family. So for more information, call 928-753-2727. Join the Mojave County Animal Shelter and PetSmart for National Adoption Weekend. You need another one, right?
No.
That was a quick no. What kind of dogs?
We have two wiener dogs. One's a hairless.
Nice.
One's a hairless wiener dog, and one's a regular wiener dog.
So a smooth dachshund.
She is hairless, yep.
Oh, and a long-haired dachshund.
Just regular hair, but the other one seriously has no hair.
Really?
She has no hair, no.
I've never seen that variety.
Yeah, she's a special breed.
Oh, okay. And these are regular-sized dachshunds. They're not miniature dachshunds.
Nope, they're little. Just regular, normal.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice. Tell me more about your family.
Well, I have five children. My oldest is 21. He's down in Tempe. He just got hired at Mercury Aerospace, super proud, and got married to a wonderful girl that was a foreign exchange student here at ASU from Vietnam. And my daughter is 18, just graduated from Lake Havasu High School. She's also going to attend ASU here. And I have twin girls that are 13, and they're at Havasu Preparatory Academy. And my second to oldest son, Chen, will be moving down to Tempe. He just bought his first home.
So which son did you graduate with at ASU at Lake Havasu?
So that's my oldest, and we were supposed to graduate, and then he changed majors, and he is in the supply chain, and so he's got another semester left.
Oh, I see. And he's in?
He moved to Tempe because we didn't offer that program here.
Oh, I see. Yep. Okay. How was your experience at ASU at Lake Havasu?
It was amazing. And I'm not here to push ASU, but I'm telling you, that college, the professors, the staff, the environment is so welcoming, so nice. I learned more in those 4 years, or the 2 years I was there, than I did in the whole 4 years that I've gone to college.
Right.
Because of the one-on-one experience that they have. And I was the oldest one in most of the classes. And
Nothing wrong with that.
Most of the time, nobody wanted to be my partner. And I asked my son, I said, why doesn't anybody ever want to be my partner? And he goes, Mom, he goes, you're a little bit overachiever. And I'm like, well, that's the partner you want to be.
That's really funny.
But yeah, I enjoyed all of it. And I'm actually back in school this summer. I just finished my last class yesterday for the substance abuse counseling at MCC to get my licensure so I can add that to my psychology degree.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that. You came in on a pretty high note about spending the day with one of our county supervisors.
Yes, so I went up and I met with Supervisor Hildy up in Bullhead. I reached out to her and she spent the whole morning with me yesterday. It was amazing. She showed me around the community and showed me all the connections the county and the city and the state have helped. They've opened up some transitional housing there, Hildy's house. They have a beautiful brand new rehab up there. And then went and did a tour of their, I hate using the word shelter, but it's their intake that they worked with, mm-hmm. Legacy House, where they have rooms that you can come in if you need a place to stay. They feed people. Like, it was amazing and just showed me all the resources that they have. And I'm really passionate about it because I'm working with the Clothes Closet, another nonprofit here in Lake Havasu, and opening up a resource center here. So I wanted to see what they're doing up there and how we can bring even just a small part of that here to Havasu.
Let's promote tomorrow's event at the Clothes Closet.
Absolutely.
While we're at it.
Absolutely. So tomorrow, Saturday, July 16th, between 5 and 7 p.m. at 1968 Mesquite Avenue, which is near the bagel bin. So I'll give them a little push there.
Perfect landmark.
Right?
Yeah.
There's a building that was donated to the Clothes Closet, and we are building a resource center that's going to be called Havasu Hope, which is Help Our People Excel. And we are having some food. Lynn's is going to be there. Babaloo's is going to be there. A couple different restaurants are going to be there. Mud Sharks is going to be there serving beer. And we're going to show the people in this community what we're doing. We have some drawings, renderings that are put up on the walls. The building, it's getting there. We have amazing contractors and builders here in town, and a lot of them want to stay anonymous, but they know who they are, that have put in all of their time, all their labor for free.
The last time I spoke with you and Christine here in the studio, Christine Watson, you were still working on the roof
and the air conditioning,
and I'm thinking, okay, they want me to host this event, right? I'll do the shameless plug for myself. They want me to host this event, but then I'm thinking, once I got into it, are the roof and the air conditioning fixed?
Okay, our roof is done.
Okay.
It's not the permanent roof that we want, but we'll work on this. This is enough to get us insulated, which was paid for. We're going to have a couple air conditioners in there and some fans, so you'll be cool.
I hope so.
You will. We'll make it very comfortable for you.
I'm very air conditioning friendly.
Okay, we will make it very, very comfortable. Otherwise, mud sharks can just keep feeding you.
Oh, nice. So again, that's at 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock. And what we're doing, we're trying to invite people to come in from the community, not necessarily the ones that are going to be using the resource center, but people that want to put their name on it. So we're working with Christine at Gold Star Engraving, and we're also working with, she's a painter in town. Her name is Terry, and I got her information from Pam Renke, and she's going to paint a tree on our wall. It's going to be our legacy wall, Hall of Blessings, and people can come in, whether you're a business or just a regular person or whatever that looks like, and you can add a donation. We'll have gold, silver, platinum, and you will pay a donation, and you will be a leaf on this wall.
Sure, sure.
And so it's going to be our legacy tree. And so that's what we're wanting. How do you want to help? Do you want to donate $500, $1,000, $10,000 so you can get your name on this wall and say that you were part of this legacy that we're bringing to Havasu?
So you're a board member
yes.
for the Clothes Closet
yes.
and obviously very passionate
very
about
passionate.
This project. Why is that?
I guess in my personal life, since I moved to Havasu, and I don't know if it's just my Christian upbringing or if it's just, you know, who I am, but I'm always going to help you, you know, and people want to say, Michelle, you're a liberal. Well, I'm not. I'm a Christian. Okay. I'm a proud Republican. But when you see people that are hungry, you feed them.
Right.
When you see people that are cold, you give them a blanket. If they're hot, you bring them inside. And so I saw that on people. And people come into our restaurant all the time. And we're always feeding somebody or helping somebody. I got blankets in the back. I'm always doing that. And my family, my children have been taught that. And so when I saw Christine and what she was doing with her small nonprofit, and she started that at our church at Calvary, I reached out to her and I said, how can I help you? And when I saw that what she was doing with this building, I went in and said, okay, let's put this as a business. Mm-hmm. Let's get a board together. Let's get our finances together. Let's make sure that we can present this, that we are a nonprofit, and that we're going to give back to the community. And we just took the road, and here we are.
Well,
and it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Right. Again, we're talking to Councilmember Michelle Lynn of Lake Havasu City. Give us a call, 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. If you have a question or a concern that you want to bring up with Councilmember Michelle Lynn. And what do you think Havasu's top issues are right now as you run for re-election?
Well, obviously, we're dealing with housing, and we've talked about this a lot, of how the city can approach that. As a city, we can't just go out and build houses. I mean, if we can, then we're going to go in that direction, and I don't see that's where Lake Havasu wants to be. We don't want to build the HUD housing. We don't want to be
as
that.
As a city.
We don't want
right,
to do
right.
that, and I don't think that there's people in this town that expect us to do that. But as a business owner, I think some of us have to take our own responsibility for that. My husband and I, we own other homes. We rent them out at a very reasonable price mm-hmm. to our employees. And for our chefs, we actually include that in their salary, and we pay for that stipend. That way, I'm able to retain my employees, and it's easy to recruit. Now, there's other businesses I know that are doing that, too, and you know, I'll let them share that if they want to share that.
Mm-hmm.
But as a city, the only thing we can really do right now is we need to watch our growth, because we can go on and talk about water, because that is one of the biggest things we need to be talking about, and watching our growth as we're expanding to make sure the people who are living here, that we have enough water to take care of them before we start expanding any bigger. So with that being said, there is a development that we just got approved through the county out in Havasu Heights.
Right.
And I'm very supportive of that. I've talked to the developers, the builders, and what they're doing, and I think it's a good option to keep our families here. Now, and I'm talking that middle class, and I hate using the word homeless, so that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your working poor. You're talking about your teachers and your nurses and your restaurant employees, a place for them to actually own a home. And I really like the development. I like the process that they're doing it. And I think at this point, that's our only option. And they have their own water district. So, you know, people want to, we're not going to have enough water. They have their own water
right.
district. So that's my take on that right now.
The county's already approved it,
yep.
and it's enough water for 1,000 homes.
Yes.
So, absolutely. What other issues do you see? What about with the property tax rate that you and Nancy Campbell had brought up at the last city council meeting, actually lowering that rate, which was not adopted by the rest of the council? But do you think that's something that might be revisited here in the coming year?
Absolutely. And, you know, these are the tough topics that we talk about during election time, so these things are always going to come up. I think that on that evening, what I was trying to portray to the community is, I understand if you have a house that you've been living in and it's a $100,000 house and now it like quadrupled and now you have $400,000. Your house value is worth that, but you still only have a certain amount of money coming in, and asking that retired person to go get another job to pay that difference on their taxes. Yes, in Lake Havasu, the city was only going to take a small percentage. I mean, I think we averaged anywhere from like $8 to $15. But we're not taking in consideration that extra tax they're going to pay from the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, and Nancy were talking about, you know, if we just give back a little bit. Okay, it's a small amount of money. It's about $100,000 for the city. We can find that somewhere. And we're not going to take away from fire. We're not going to take away from police. But we can find it somewhere in that budget, some wiggle room.
Right.
We have some. Our revenues are pretty good right now. And at least we're giving some empathy back to the community and say, we hear you, and we'll address this. Just give us some time to look at it. But to do it that night, yeah, I understand the kickback on that. You know, it was kind of late in the game.
Sure.
But I think next time when we go into budget, and hopefully I still have that seat, that we start addressing these things way beforehand.
And there's that two-year lag also.
Yes.
So we're talking about assessed values from 2 years ago. So that's what I'm saying is you have another year, you'll be talking about values for 2021.
Correct.
And then the year after that will be this year's, you know, huge yeah. assessed values. Even if the market tanks, which I'm not predicting it will, but if it does, you're going to have a lot of upset people going, why has my property
right.
tax rate gone up?
Right. Well,
they don't realize it's from 2 years ago.
Right.
So anyway, let's go ahead and take our first break. Again, we're talking with Michelle Lynn. She's a candidate for Lake Havasu City Council and an incumbent council member. Two terms now.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. And I saw Mike Bonney kind of sneaking around in there in the production room. Not sure what he's up to. I'm going to have to make sure he doesn't try to do any of his own production in there, right? And then get it on the air. You never know with Mike. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Alright, we're back on Speak Out. A little Who, since I'm the substitute drummer, right, Michelle?
You are.
Apparently. I used to play some Who. Actually, a lot of fun, a lot of free-form stuff. So, alright, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Horizon Community Bank, GDK LLC, and speaking of, we're looking right at his nice Hawaiian shirt, Mr. Mike Bonney. And Springburg Wealth Management, also Patio Paradise. Don't forget we stream live and our show archives are at KNTRtalk.com. They're also on the Lake Havasu City app, available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. And I got to give a shout out for the Republican picnic tomorrow. I'm not sure if you're... Are you going?
I can't go because I'm going to be getting ready for our event.
Right.
So I was invited this morning. I was going to go up with the Women's Republican Party, but I can't go. I got to get this event going.
I'm one of those five or six people that are rolling down off the mountain and going to the event at the clothes closet, but I'll be there at 10 a.m., and the night before, which is tonight, I'll be playing until midnight in Seligman.
Oh, my goodness. So, you're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, but I'm not driving back to Havasu. I'm going to... The GOP was kind enough to get me a room in Kingman so I can stay tonight, get 5 or 6 hours of sleep, and then get up and help MC the event.
Oh, awesome.
I say help MC. I doubt if... I'm pretty sure they're just going to hand me a microphone and say, okay, start introducing people. Here's your list.
That's your thing, though. You can do it. That's why we're asking you to host ours.
Oh, my. Yeah, don't get any ideas, you other organizations out there. I just can't say no to Christine.
That's right.
That's what it is, right?
Nobody can say no to Christine.
Exactly. So, all right, we talked about the property tax rate a little bit. And so you're comfortable with what was passed the other night?
You know, I voiced my opinion on it. The community knows where I stand on it. So, yes, I will support the rest of the council on the decision going forward. Like I said, it was just about giving back a little bit. It was such a tiny amount of money. But what it really, at the end of the day, it is really letting the community know that we're listening to you.
Is that pretty much how it works, even if you disagree with the rest of the council? You just kind of have to move on after a vote like that?
I guess it depends on the topic. There's been things in the past that I'm still going to, I would fight on because I'm like, no. So, and just the no vote doesn't always work, but there's been things in the past and that I honestly believe that a lot of, things that I've pushed, went the direction that I was hoping that it would.
That makes sense. Okay, so two terms already on the Havasu Council. What would you say are your biggest accomplishments in those 8 years?
I knew you were going to ask me this. And,
well,
you know,
I kind of have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, and as a council, you know, we don't, individual people can't really accept an accomplishment. But the one thing that I'm going to take as a win from here, whether I take the seat or don't take the seat, is when we addressed the ARPA money a couple months ago. And I was very passionate about looking at where that money needed to go, and I was watching what the county was doing and how they were dividing it. And so I thought it was time for the council to talk about it. Let's talk about where that ARPA money is going to go. And I went in and I talked to our city manager, Jess, and I talked to Cal and said, I'd like to see what that looks like. So I got the information, the huge document, and kind of went through it, and I noticed that.
How much money are we talking about first?
There was $7
million. Okay.
And so we went into, I believe it was $7 million. I get confused with what they got in county. $7, $8
million? I get the millions, billions, and trillions mixed up anymore. That's why we have an accountant in the room.
8.3. Okay.
8.3.
And part of it was already put aside for some things. And so I just wanted to see what amount we can give back into the community with the nonprofits and community resources, because that's a big portion in there that we're allowed to do. And so Cal and I, the mayor and I, sat down and talked about what that would look like and how we can approach that with the council once it was put on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And we came up with this idea, like, to reintroduce our resource alliance that was done during COVID. And so we went back to the council, and we had staff present to us what we can do with this. And the mayor and I and two staff members interviewed 17 amazing people from the community. I cannot believe the people that we have here and how they give back.
It's always been like that.
Amazing yeah. people. Just mm-hmm. intelligent, passionate, like caring people, and with the backgrounds that they have. So we did we were there 5 hours doing these interviews and came up with a great board and formed the five regular members, two alternative, and they're working on it. The council now has stepped aside, and they will form the process of what that looks like with mm-hmm. staff, put out the applications to nonprofits, churches, any type of organization that is community-related. They will put in the application. We'll go through the board. They will vet what they need the money for. We're really hoping that focuses on whatever they use the money for is going to be stable.
I would think the Hospitality Association would be in there, too, because of how they stepped up along with United Way and some of the other agencies during the I can't remember the name of the program, but there was some assistance going on
yes.
with families that were affected.
Yep. Yeah. I think the PD was part of that.
Yes.
They were part of that
because right.
we actually got some of the sanitizers and all the signage and stuff. So I'm not sure how they're going to present it. I'm excited to see what applications go through, what applications are accepted. But because we want to be held accountable, it's going to come back again to the county. Mm-hmm. To the city.
To the city, right.
And then we will vet whether or not those are the things that we believe that mm-hmm. is good use of the money. So there's such a process in holding accountability, and I'm going to take it as a win. I mean, $1 million is up to $1 million, but there was a little bit of a discussion on that. But that's $1 million that's going to go back and help families and businesses and nonprofits, just that extra step of getting the help that they need.
I hear the passion in your voice
yeah.
for the community. Is that the reason why you ran for council in
yeah.
the first place?
Originally, yes. My first election was, it was fun. And it was challenging.
I see how much work candidates go through, and I just can't believe you would run again.
Well, you know,
that's a lot of work.
Talk about term limits, because I know that's been a big focus of this. And Michelle, why are you running? You've been there two terms.
That word didn't even come up in my mind. I'm just thinking how much work it takes.
It is a lot of work.
So many candidates talk about that.
And I don't think they realize. Like I said yesterday, I spent the good part of my day up in the Bullhead going and looking at all these resources. My children, I miss out on things with them. People don't realize. I'm like, I'm going to meetings and driving out of town and making phone mm-hmm. calls. It's hours and hours. And to, you know, and if you want, we can touch on the Facebook thing if you want to be told
really
that I don't do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a calendar because it's all day, every day
right.
of going out and giving back to the community in my personal life, in my political life, in my church life. So, I take a little insult to that.
Yeah, it's one of the nastier city campaigns that I can remember in a long time, maybe all the way back to the Jackson 5 days, if you know what I'm talking about. So I don't know if you were here then.
I was not here.
But, yeah, there was a huge recall. I know Mike remembers. So, all right, Michelle, always nice to talk to you. Thank you so much
Thank
for coming
you.
In. I will see you tomorrow night at
yes.
the Closed Closet event.
Yes.
And
don't forget, 1968 Mesquite Avenue. 5 to 7. Come for food. Come and leave a legacy and bring some donations.
You had me at food.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming back with Mike Bonney, GDK LLC. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie.
Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Mike Bonney on Cloud 9 right now.
Yes, sir.
Or possibly on Jupiter or Mars.
I'm always on Cloud 9 when I'm in your presence.
Aw.
My friend.
That's awesome. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I like the lady who answers the phone over there. She calls herself the phone lady.
The phone lady. She's Jackie, not a, she's very, very...
She's like, I am not a CPA.
Excellent.
I am a phone lady. I love that.
I love it.
Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, SunPower by Esme Electric, the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, and our newest sponsor, Les Olson IT, your company's one source for office technology, computers, copiers, printers, and phone systems. Check them out online, lesolson.com/Kingman, lesolson, lesolson.com/Kingman. Always nice to have fresh new sponsors.
Absolutely.
Right?
You don't want those old GDK LLC sponsors all the time.
Give me a... embellish me really quick, Mike. The Diamondbacks play tonight at San Diego, 6:40 p.m., start of a three-game series before the All-Star break, which starts Monday, and then they'll return to the Diamond at Chase on Friday. And we gave away Saturday's tickets already. We've got tickets for Friday, July 22nd, 6:40 p.m., Diamondbacks and the Washington Nationals. So if you're interested, give me a call either in the next break or right after the show.
Let me get my phone out.
854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And those four tickets along the third base line will be yours.
Yeah. Nice.
I've sat in them. They're nice.
Nice seats.
They are.
Nice seats.
Although it's kind of a walk to the margarita cart.
But it's worth
it.
Yeah. It's well worth
it. I'm not really a beer drinker. I'm more the margarita guy at the ballpark.
I'm a Dr. Pepper drinker.
Oh, you and Roger Galloway. That's funny.
Oh, that's not good.
That's funny.
Sorry.
He can put them
away.
Sorry,
Roger.
No, he can put them away. I'll tell you that. So you wanted to talk about taxes and inflation.
Everybody's favorite topics, taxes and inflation. And we're hearing a lot about inflation these days.
I have a couple other favorites.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do. But
aren't money related.
You can't say them on the air.
Yeah,
either.
Right.
One of Joe Biden's favorite topics, taxes and inflation. He still denies it. But at any rate, as we all know, rising inflation is mixed news for taxpayers. Many tax breaks will be higher in 2023. Tax breaks.
Oh, breaks.
Breaks.
The breaks will be higher.
Will be higher.
Huh.
Others stay stagnant as they have for years. Here's how inflation can affect your tax bill. We'll first discuss the good news for taxpayers. Income tax brackets will be wider in 2023 because they are annually indexed to inflation.
What does that mean, Mike?
The brackets of not the tax rates. The tax rates stay constant, but the brackets themselves expand.
Okay, so somebody making, say, $35,000 to, I don't know what that bracket is.
Well, I haven't memorized the brackets because I have a handy cheat sheet when I'm talking to my clients about this, which I should have brought with me.
Okay, if somebody makes $45,000 a year.
Which would probably put them in a blend of 10 to 12%.
Okay.
Okay. But that 10% bracket starts at zero for a single taxpayer and goes up to, say, $35,000. In 2021. Well, that $35,000 will be $35,400. That's just an example. Those are not hard figures. Mm-hmm. So each of the tax brackets are 10, 12, 22, and 35. So each of those brackets will expand, meaning that it's a tax reduction for if you earn the same amount of money, you possibly would be paying less in tax in 2023 than you did in 2022.
And you should.
You should because
of inflation.
It's the brackets are indexed for inflation.
Okay.
Which means that inflation won't push you. If they weren't indexed for inflation, inflation could potentially push you into a higher tax bracket. That's the purpose of indexing the brackets for inflation.
I can't believe Ways and Means had that much common sense to actually factor that in.
Well, this goes back to the 80s.
Okay.
That during Reagan, during the Reagan administration, the Tax Reform Act of 1986 introduced indexing the brackets for inflation. Fortunately, in all those years, Congress hasn't dinked with it until 2017.
Of course.
The Tax Cut and Jobs Act,
oh, right,
passed by President Trump.
It was signed by President Trump.
It was signed by President Trump.
In 2017, I believe.
But they changed the method in which those brackets are indexed by inflation. As you probably know, there's several inflation markers, for instance. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is one.
Right, and the Producers Index,
the
sure.
Consumer Price Index-U is a chained CPI-U, which adjusts the federal tax items for inflation. Prior to 2018, annual inflation adjustments for tax brackets and other write-offs were based on the Consumer Price Index for all urban consumers. Economists argued that the CPIU tends to overstate actual inflation because the formula doesn't account for how people change their spending patterns as prices rise. The economist claimed that the chained CPIU is a better inflation measure. They won out. So now the chained CPIU is being used, and the CPIUs will rise about 8.2% for the 12-month period from October 1 through September 30, the fiscal year for indexing 2023 tax items. Compare this with our forecasted increase of 9% or so for the CPI, and you can see the difference. And it doesn't sound like much, like 0.8%, but it actually is. And we just saw the CPI came out just recently at 9.1%, I believe it was.
Yeah.
If memory serves me correct. This is good news from that standpoint that it's indexed for that many things are indexed for inflation, but many breaks in income levels are not indexed to inflation. First, the taxation of Social Security benefits. It's been during the Clinton administration that Social Security benefits are taxed at either 50% or 85% depending on the income threshold that is used. They've stayed static at $25,000 for individuals and $32,000 for joint filers. These amounts don't go up with inflation, despite the fact that Social Security benefits have gone up more. Cumulative Social Security benefits will be taxed this year than in 2021. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
A House bill would hike the $25,000 and $32,000 threshold to $35,000 and $50,000. However, it would also have the 6.2% Social Security tax for employees and employers kick in again for workers with wages over $400,000. So that's a no-go for Republicans.
Is this something, I mean, you mentioned the Clinton administration. Surely it's been adjusted since then.
It has not.
It has not?
It has not.
Wow.
These $25,000 and $32,000 numbers that I mentioned kicked in during the Clinton. In fact, Clinton raised the amount of Social Security benefits that can be taxed from 50% to 80%. if you're over that 25 or 32,000. So,
and that was in order to help balance the budget
and sustain Social Security.
Right.
Which,
Jinx, buy me a Coke.
Yeah, right. Got it. Right after this show.
All right. Mike, I think a lot of people right now, especially with the cost of gas, I mean, okay, it went down 40 cents. Boo.
Whoopee.
You know, yeah, right. When it doubles in price.
More than doubles.
Since President Trump left office.
Right.
And it's more than doubled in price. And now we get a 40 cents break. Thank you. You know, thank you, Joey.
Well, that's the whole thing. It goes up and everybody thinks when it goes down 40 cents, that's a big deal.
Well, some people think that's a big deal. It's not the new normal to me, and it never will be.
Right.
What about those people who are independent contractors that can take mileage? Is mileage something that's going to go up?
As of July 1, the mileage rate that is deductible for self-employed, basically, and for other purposes, but business use, has gone up to 62.5 cents a mile from 58 cents a mile. So,
yeah, I think it was at 54.5 last year, or on the 2021 return.
Correct. Yeah. In 22, it started at 58. They went from 54 to 58. Then in July, it goes to 62.5. So
it may go up even more in the next quarter.
It's unlikely. It's unlikely. Usually they make an adjustment once a year, if that.
I don't think I've ever seen it that high.
No. But gas hasn't been this high.
Yeah, right.
But It's a nightmare for tax preparers because we have to tell our clients, well, give me your mileage for the first half of the year and give me your mileage for the second half
of the year.
Is that
how it's going to work, Mike?
You can
when
use,
you go to prepare your
yes,
return next year?
Yes. An alternative is you can use a blended rate of halfway between 58 and 62.5 and use the average for the entire year.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be another. This is not the first time we've been faced with this. We've had mid-year adjustments prior. Don't quote me on the years, but yes, we have had those types of adjustments mid-year.
Your commercial running right now, the new commercial that you have on tax, talks about the child tax credit and how it's been adjusted down from a certain amount. Walk us through that for those people who have kids that are thinking, how come I'm not getting as much money and what do I have to claim? And how is it going to affect me at the end of the year?
Prior, for 2021 only, the child tax credit, as a result of one of the tax law, one of the stimulus bills passed that affected.
The one that created money.
The one that paid everybody to stay home, not work. That one.
Okay.
Basically paid $250 per child up to age 17. Actually paid them
per month
for 6 months. Started in July of 2021.
$250 per child,
17 at 17 to 5.
Oh.
$300 for children 0
Pre-schoolers.
To 5.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That they got directly deposited or a check or a debit, like a debit card, based on the 2020 tax return and dependents claimed. And for the whole year, the credit was $3,000 or $3,600 if the child was under age 5.
That makes sense.
And totally refundable.
Because $250 a month times
12
is $3,000.
Correct.
And
minus the $1,500 that you've already received.
And then $300 would be $3,600. Okay.
Correct.
I'm following you so far.
Minus half that you've already received.
Right.
And the remainder was totally refundable. That expired 12/31/21.
Oh boy.
And reverted back to the law that was in effect in 2020.
So that was last year's tax return.
2020's tax return.
Okay, it expired. So now we're talking about the year before.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Now we reverted back to 2020 law, which said a child tax credit up to $2,000 per child up to age 17, of which only $1,400 was refundable. It was tied to the income tax liability. Mm-hmm. If your tax liability was less than $2,000, only $1,400, you could have used that to offset the tax liability and then refund up to $1,400. And where taxpayers are going to get hurt this year is if they were able to claim the child in 2020 that was based on, but they couldn't claim the child in 2021, they saw a big increase in their tax liability.
You're reading my mind here, because there's a lot of, you know, not every family has a mother and father intact. There are separated families.
And the child does not always live with one parent for the whole year.
And the one parent claims this one year and the other parent gets to claim the next year. What a nightmare.
Contrary to the tax law, by the way, I might add.
Really?
Yes.
How is that contrary?
Well, the tax law says the dependency exemption goes to the parent who has custody the majority of the time.
Right.
So if you get a child every other weekend and by agreement you alternate claiming
that
child.
You're still not the majority parent.
You violated the tax law.
Right. Right.
You are okay with family court,
yeah,
but you violated the tax law. And the family court judges don't give a damn about the tax law, quite frankly.
Of course not.
They don't.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I digress.
Mm-hmm.
So in an instance where a parent claimed the child on 2020 and got those monies and then went to file their 2021 tax return and they can't claim the child, then they got zero credit.
Right.
But they received $3,000 or $1,500 and $1,800, I guess,
uh-huh,
that they would actually have to pay back. And when they filed their tax return, big shock to those people.
Totally.
Yeah, totally.
Hopefully they overpaid, right?
Well, I can't
I'm just saying.
Hopefully they were aware of it and adjusted it.
Yeah, right.
And adjusted their withholding or made estimated payments.
Right.
I guarantee you, and don't hold me to this statistic, but 9 out of 10 of those people would not.
You know, I'm going to editorialize here just a tad, but when the Trump tax cut went in, I keep hearing from people, you know, from politicians, it only benefited the rich. I had a huge bump in my paycheck.
Absolutely.
Because of less taxes
coming
out. Was that common for people?
Yes.
And how do they get away with saying that?
Well, because politicians lie. We know that.
Oh, okay.
And
really?
Yeah. And they're not protected by the First Amendment.
Okay.
I mean, they can lie.
Right.
And the truth is that the Trump tax cut benefited the rank and file, the wage earner. There were a lot of provisions in there that were very beneficial to the average Joe the plumber.
I saw about $65 increase in every check, not just a month.
Well, but equate that to your tax return, not just the amount of your check.
Yeah,
but when you filed your tax return.
My refund went down a little bit, of course.
Yeah, because you had less withheld.
It evened out.
Because you had less withheld, therefore you got more in your pocket.
But that's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you should keep all your money.
You're not supposed to look forward to a, you know, giant refund.
Well, no, you're right.
Yeah.
Because the IRS doesn't pay interest on that.
Yeah, right.
As long as they refund it by June 30.
Although you have to pay interest when you're late.
Yeah, it's a minor point.
Is there anything else we missed, Mike? I'm careful about how much time I give you at the end.
yes, I know. Just that the tax break for selling your principal residence is not indexed for inflation either. Basically, it's $250,000 if you're single and $500,000 if you're married filing joint return and lived in the residence for two or more years. And in case of rising prices, those gains could exceed that. So taxpayers who sold their homes may see a tax liability in 2022 or 23.
A lot of you out there, too.
A lot of Havasuvians out there.
Right.
With what was a $400,000 home selling for $750. So,
or those Californians that sold big and then bought
exactly.
Here.
So yeah. Be careful,
right?
Be careful.
Exactly.
Just a word to the wise.
Consult your tax professional.
Absolutely.
Also known as Mike Bonney,
GDK LLC. You got that. All Call right. me.
Nice shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
He's got the Hawaiian, sporting the Hawaiian
That's
shirt.
That's right. That's right. It's the only clean shirt in the closet this morning.
Perfect day for it. Mike, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, my friend.
All right. We'll have a final shot when I come back. I'll let you know what's going on this weekend. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out will continue. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. A little preview of this weekend with the Havasu Heat. They are playing in the Battle at the Bridge. Not at the Bridge, but at John Michael Wade Field, which is on the campus of Lake Havasu High School. That's all weekend. Games are to be announced, so you're going to want to go on the Facebook page and see what's happening with Havasu Heat baseball this weekend. Don't forget the Republican Picnic is tomorrow at Walpi Mountain Park, and I believe they're sold out. They only had 10 tickets as of Monday, and a ton of elected officials will be there. I'll see you there as well, and it's all catered by Hooch's Kingman Grill. All right, on Monday, we'll have Lake Havasu City Police Department Chief Dan Doyle and Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Of course, the Havasu First Responders Hour, that is on Monday, and we've got a whole week of guests. We'll have the Real Estate Power Hour as well on Wednesday. If you want those D-backs tickets, give me a call, 854-KNTR, 854-5687. We'll see you on Monday.
This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.